Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in Chris Mack, Pittsburgh. Chris, I'm sure the phone lines in Pittsburgh are burning up with pirate talk.
You know, it's actually, there's a certain percentage of the fan base, to be totally honest, Steve, that are enjoying seeing the kids play, you know?
And, I agree.
And enjoying seeing what's happening with it. Sure, I mean, they had that stretch there where they lost, 12 out of 14 or 12 out of 15, something like that. But that kind of wrapped up and culminated with the call-up of O'Neill Cruz and then they had a walk-off win yesterday, the big Jack Sawinski three-home run day and walk-off on Father's Day last weekend. So the silver linings amongst the clouds are enough right now that I think more people now are probably paying attention than were, say, 2 months ago. You know, the Penguin season wrapped up earlier than anybody wanted. Right. The Steelers have gone through OTAs, and now we're in that lull until they report back to Latrobe in late July. And so this is the pocket. This is a good pocket of time for the Pirates to take advantage of any opportunity they can find to maybe capture some people's attention.
But it's not capturing the attendance. The attendance has gone nowhere this week.
Again. Oh, yeah.
Against the Cubs. I mean, nobody showed up.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other part of this fan base that, and even, you know, if you've got a Venn diagram, there's certainly a part of it in the middle there that overlaps where there are people that want to embrace the team and are even sitting at home watching on a regular basis, but don't want to go to the ballpark. You know, I was talking to another dad at one of my daughter's softball games a few weeks ago, and I got the same thing I get from a lot of people, which is, you know, until they pour the money in, I'm not going to pour my money in. And so that's still the prevailing feeling from those fans that are not showing up at the ballpark. They're going to wait. They're going to wait and see. And if you remember, you know, even back in say 2010, 2011, 2012, it took 3 or 4 years for attendance to get ramped up to the way it did in the 3 years they went to the wild card game, because people, despite Andrew McCutchen and Neil Walker and Pedro Alvarez, people wanted to see that they were actually going to build around that young core, which they did, you know, with, you know, the AJ Burnett trade, Liriano, Volquez. They did build around those guys, around Garrett Cole and McCutchen, and made the most of it for 2 or 3 years before they stopped with that strategy, somewhat inexplicably. You know, people want to see that again. They want to see that it's not just O'Neill Cruz and, you know, whoever else may end up getting called up this year that's considered a top-tier prospect. They want to see that it's, you know, that there's some building going on around those guys, but the Pirates aren't going to build around those guys. Hayes, Cruz, not sure about Reynolds, because who knows how long he is for this team. They want to see some building around that young core, which the Pirates won't do until they actually see competitiveness on the horizon, which is still probably, to be honest, a couple years away.
All right, and then there's this part. Perception plays a big role in what you're talking about, Chris. Mm-hmm. Last night on the Astros-Yankees broadcast on MLB Network, Bob Costas referred to the Pirates as Major League Baseball's farm team. And then, then he said sad. That's a national perspective, and it's also a national perception. How much does that hurt in terms of getting people to the ballpark when they hear that perception?
Oh, it's killer, because the first thing you think about, you know, I saw an article this morning in Pittsburgh Magazine that lauded the debut of O'Neill Cruz and how great it was and how much fun it is, but then also openly pondered just how long he'll be a Pittsburgh Pirate. And, you know, we're going to see that in action with Brian Reynolds over the next 15 months. If he is not traded this summer, I'd be flabbergasted if he isn't traded by next year's deadline, because he'll be nearing arbitration and this team still won't be contending for a playoff spot. So do you need a 27 or 28-year-old Brian Reynolds if he's not a part of the young core? And if you can bolster what is a pretty thin pool of pitching prospects, by dealing a guy like that. And that's always going to be the problem, is that as long as the next best thing is only your best thing for a few years and then you've got to kiss him goodbye, it's going to be hard for people to fully emotionally invest.
Well, which this also happens at the same time that Aaron Judge settled his arbitration with the Yankees for like midway. It's like $19 million. But it's only a one-year deal, which means Judge, who appears to be determined to go to free agency, is going to be on the market. Judge, if he is healthy, and that's always an if with him, if he's healthy, could put together the kind of monster year of potentially 60 home runs and so forth. And he's going to get one of those 7 to 10 year contracts that could be worth upwards of $250 to $350 million.
Yeah.
Of course, the Pirates will not compete for that. But the Yankees might retain him, and here's the reason why. Because they're willing to give second contracts, and the Pirates, they don't give second contracts. They don't do it. They don't try to keep the band together.
No, and the few instances where you do see them do something like that, and they're certainly not – there's certainly not a third contract. Again, I'll use McCutchen as the example. Andrew McCutchen got a second contract and was moved by the time, you know, that contract had a little more than a year left on it. And look, to be honest, when you look back on that deal in hindsight,
it's a good deal.
It's a good deal. They got Brian Reynolds out of that deal. So, you know, I think that the thing that people have to understand, or at least the Pirates maybe I wish would understand better, is we would, as fans of this team, rather watch them lose 100 games with a bunch of overpriced guys that we love who aren't as good as they once were, rather than a bunch of no-name vagabond journeymen who are playing on cut-rate salaries, which is inevitably a part of the cycle when you dispatch with the McCutchens and Coles, you know? Right. Now, understandably, it's the owner's prerogative. He would rather not do that, but I think you would see more people, to your point in talking about the attendance, more people would be inclined to go watch a 100-loss team if they at least had a relationship built with the players who were losing 100 games.
That's a great point, because the way the Pirates are run, you don't get attached to anybody.
Right. You know, it's much like, I'll make this comparison. It's a little unwieldy, somewhat apples to oranges, but because the Steelers win all the time. But the Steelers decided last year, Art Rooney decided, against his GM's and his coach's better judgment, that he was going to hang in with the quarterback because the quarterback was the face of the franchise. Now, again, the Steelers win on a regular basis.
Right.
They've never been a poverty franchise.
Sure.
They're in a capped league, all those things. So that's where it's apples and oranges.
Sure.
But the decision was made that, hey, we're going to stick with Ben, results be damned. Even though we have a young quarterback that we'd like to find out more about, even though we could go a different route if we wanted to. And so the Pirates are just never going to do that. You know, you look around the league and you see all the names that are still playing from those wild card teams. And there are still a fair number out. I mean, Garrett Cole still pitching well. Andrew McCutchen still playing for the Brewers. You see those names out there and you say, man, yeah, they'd be incredibly overpriced right now, or at least McCutchen would be based on his results. But shoot, wouldn't it get more people to show up to the game if they knew that that guy was only going to play in one jersey for his entire career?
Meadows, Glasnow, Clay Holmes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Right? You know, go on and on and on. You know, I think about the guys that came through here. Holmes came through here. Glasnow came through here through State College.
Yeah.
So is it too early for anybody on your show to debate the quarterback situation for the Steelers? I know
Pickett. Oh, never. Never.
Pickett signed this week. So tell me, if you're doing an informal fan poll just based on your calls, who's winning?
Well, look, I think a lot of fans are impatient to see what Kenny Pickett can do, but I also think an equal number of fans understand that he's not going to start the year as their number one. He's just not. The Steelers are going to be very patient, I think. they're going to give Mitch Trubisky, I believe, every chance to win the job. I think he would have to fall flat on his face in order to lose the job. I think with Trubisky, there's always a risk that you're going to get a clunker or two. If those clunkers come back-to-back somewhere in the middle of the season, especially before the bye week, then, hey, all of a sudden it creates a natural progression for us to throw Kenny Pickett in there. If we're, 3-6 and Trubisky's been stinking the joint up and we've got a bye week and we can get Pickett up to speed, that would make a ton of sense. But as long as they're within a game or two, and they seemingly always are. I think in Mike Tomlin's history, they've played one regular season game where they were eliminated from playoff contention. So they're always in it. And as long as they're in it, I think they're going to continue to roll with Trubisky. I don't think they want to rush Pickett. I think they want to give him the ability to walk in, and when he walks in, remain the starter. I think Mike Tomlin, or at least I hope Mike Tomlin, learned from the year of Rudolph and Hodges that you don't want to go back and forth, even if it's with Trubisky and a first-round pick in Pickett's case, and everybody knows the first-round pick is going to be the guy eventually, you still don't want to do that dance, that in and out, the hokey-pokey. When you finally go to the first-round draft pick, you want him to remain the guy so that it doesn't become a case now of toying with his confidence and his development.
That's where I lost a little confidence in some Steeler fans when they told me, I think Duck Hodges is pretty good. I'm like, oh, what? I lost a little confidence in some members of the fan base on that. Like, okay, you and your heart are doing just fine. You got to start using your eyes and your mind a little bit. All right.
Yeah. I do think there's something to be said for Pickett anyway, of the expectation.
Oh, sure. He's the first round pick. He's a pit kid.
Well, the expectations are going to be unwieldy, I think, though, for some people, especially hardcore fans who look at Kenny Pickett and an ACC championship and all that. And they're going to expect that when he takes his first few NFL snaps, he's going to pick right up where he left off. This isn't the Coastal Division of the ACC, though, guys.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a learning curve. And if he does not attack it at full speed and work his way through it very quickly, people are, I don't want to say turn on him, but they're going to start to openly wonder about just how high he was drafted very quickly. I mean, this town turns, most NFL cities do, turn on a quarterback like that.
Oh, every town in America turns like that. Come on, every that town in America where the second string guy is mayor.
Oh, even up there, right? People are banging down the doors for Christian Villo.
And then Drew and Bo and the whole thing, And everybody's like, come on, let's start playing. Like, just calm down. I feel like I'm on Mike and the Mad Dog, where Christopher Russo's going crazy. And I'm telling you, dog, hold on.
Dog, you got to slow down.
Slow down, dog. Chris, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us, my friend. You have a great weekend, okay?
You too, Steve. Thanks so much. Always love catching up.